Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello, welcome to another Tech Talk. I am Stephen Scott here with you once again. AbilityNet's Robin Christofferson joins me as always. Hi to you, Robin.
Hi, Stephen. How's it going?
I'm good. I'm so excited this week because there are so many rumours going around about Apple and some kind of event that may be planned, may not be planned. Talk of a new HomePod potentially. I'm so excited.
You picked the least exciting one.
Oh, come on. I love the HomePod. You people don't have a clue. Honestly, the HomePod is brilliant. The sound quality is amazing. Hey, you can text on it. You can make calls on it. Don't ask her any other questions. But, you know, you can do all that stuff. And it's brilliant. So I don't know what you're talking about, Robin.
Sorry, echo through and through. If you shouted in my ear, you'd hear an echo. That's how committed I am to the A-Lady.
You love the A-Lady. Listen, we are going to talk Apple a bit later. We're going to get to your emails as well shortly as well. But I want to bring someone back to the show. We were hoping to get him on last week, but our schedules just clashed. So our people spoke to his people, and his people said, OK. And Red Sail is back with us. Hello, Red.
Hello, Stephen. Hello, Robin.
Hello.
And Red, you're the host of Read On. I contractually have to say that. But I would say it anyway. It's a great show. It really is a great show. Check it out. And you can get it on podcast. It's on Fridays at 1. I'm selling it for you. But it is. It's a great show. Really well worth checking out. If you love your audiobooks and you love hearing about how audiobooks are made, hearing narrators speak about the work they do, and of course the authors themselves, you get to speak to a lot of great authors, don't you? You love your job. You just love your job.
I've got the perfect job. It's great. I get to talk books with authors and narrators every week.
Well, the reason we got you back, for regular listeners, of course everybody's a regular listener. Who doesn't listen to this show? That's the question I have. For everyone who knows, Red was on a couple of weeks back. What was it, a month ago now? Maybe
It's been about six weeks.
And we were talking to you about your laptop, because at that point you were looking to get a new laptop. You were at that stage and you had some questions, you had some concerns around what to buy. There are so many options out there. And I think, if I remember rightly, I recommended something like the Dell Inspiron range.
That's exactly right. Inspiron, yep.
Is that what you went for in the end?
That's exactly what I went for. With the help of my 20-year-old daughter, we got a deal. It didn't come in quite as expensive as you'd led me to believe. That was the only piece of dud advice you gave me, that actually you overquoted the price. And my 14-inch Dell Inspiron turned up through the post a couple of days after I'd ordered it, and sat down with my 20-year-old daughter, flipped open the lid, and the first thing it did was started speaking to us. Narrator said, "Would you like to set up this computer using Narrator?"
Oh, how amazing.
And at that point, I thought Stephen might actually know what he's talking about.
Well, I've never been accused of that before, but that's good. No, I'm really pleased about that. So the setup process. Now, it's interesting you say you sat down with your daughter. You're, I guess, expecting to come up against some problems in the setup.
Yeah, I mean, as we said before, I've never been the most computer literate person. I'm of that age where we didn't get computer science lessons at school automatically, and it was all a bit new. So I always expect to have some eyes on whilst I'm setting these things up. But for the most part, actually, I was able to tab through much of the setup. There were some fiddly things, especially around Outlook, but as I remember, Outlook has always been a bit of a pain to set up. And my daughter had a few problems porting over the two email addresses that I use. But other than that, actually, it's worked very, very well.
The thing is, when you get a new computer, and Robin, you know this as well as I do. I mean, I feel like I've been going through this process now for the past 3 weeks. I got myself a Lenovo laptop. It was a bit of a last-minute decision. I was wanting to get a dedicated PC laptop. I've got a MacBook and I love my MacBook, and I had copied Robin for a long time, and I think I mentioned this on the show with you last, that I'd copied him in the sense that I'd got Windows put onto that MacBook as a separate system, and I like it, and I know Robin raves about it. Yeah, it's the greatest thing ever. It's good, but it has got its drawbacks, and there are some things I don't like. For example, when you're trying to edit audio and it doesn't work. because it just doesn't like it, or, you know, maybe the computer's not up to speed for it, or it's just not, you know, and the fans at this point are going crazy trying to keep up with all of this stuff, because it's trying to run two operating systems at once at that stage. So, you know, for me, it was good for the basic tasks, but for editing and stuff, I didn't find that particularly enjoyable. I'm not saying it's not possible. I wasn't as keen on it. So I thought I'll get a dedicated machine. So I got this Lenovo, and when I got it, it was brand new. I got it from a store I go to regularly. It's actually a charity that gives creates opportunities for young children in the Middle East for education. So I'm all for that. So I'm like, you know, I'd rather give money to an organization like that as opposed to a conglomerate like you did, Red. But
on your advice.
Yeah, moving along. In fairness, I have bought from computer companies as well.
On occasion.
I'm basically a cheapskate. That's the bottom line. I wanted a deal, and that's what I got. So, you know, I got the deal, and it was amazing. I got a machine that was like 1700 quid, and I got it for £7, which is not a bad deal when you think about it. So, you know, I didn't expect there to be any problems because it was a sealed box. It was a sealed unit from Lenovo. So I opened up the box, got it all set up, and it was okay. But I immediately had a problem where it was telling me there was some issue with a driver that wasn't installed. So contacted Lenovo, and I've got to say, you know, and I think you have the same experience with Dell here, because I've had this experience with Dell as well. The support side of things is amazing. And that matters, you know, it really does matter. Mm. You know, if you have a problem with that computer, and hopefully you don't, Red, but if you do, you want to know that the people on the other end can, you know, fix it, and you're not going to be left with a machine that's now useless, that you've wasted your money. That's the point, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, no, exactly. And actually, I mean, fortunately, I haven't had to speak to anybody at Dell yet, but I've found all the pointers that I need for getting things set up and working have been very, very good. It seems as if it's constructed with differing abilities in mind. The accessibility was accessible, which hasn't always been the case in the past.
Yeah, and that was with Narrator you used to set up.
Yeah, Narrator's funny. It says it's they say the most recent version of it has been set up to mirror Jaws and the other one that I can never remember the name of. I always want to call it HDMI. NVIDIA. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, from a keystroke point of view, yeah.
But it is a bit different. It does have some different keystrokes. And it, again, actually, most of my problems just seem to come out of Outlook. It seems to lose focus a lot whenever I'm using Outlook. But which actually has made me a little bit more appreciative of Jaws on my work machine. I haven't been swearing at my work machine quite so much. But yeah, actually, it is otherwise actually very intuitive.
So, Red, do you know what version of Windows 10 you've got?
That's a technical question, Robin. Do you?
I only ask because
I would hope the latest.
You don't know. I mean, one would hope that. Because out of the box, there's no guarantee at all that it's the latest version. But one would hope that in the weeks that you've had it up and running, that the latest version would have been pushed to it. The reason why I say that is because Narrator and Outlook have, you know, Narrator support for Outlook has improved significantly in 2004. So, but you're absolutely right. You know, while some of the keystrokes are the same, Jaws hasn't, you know, comparatively infinite number of keystrokes that, you know, many of which you will want to take advantage of in Outlook, for example, to be able to quickly read who an email's from or to or the subject line without actually having to shift tab up into that header, you know, bit of the email. So, yeah, it's only when you've tried to use something like Outlook or any of the Office products with a built-in, you know, screen reader like Narrator, which whilst the basics are now pretty much there, you know, you're going to certainly feel the loss of all of those hotkeys that make your life a lot easier, I think, with a screen reader like Jaws.
Yeah, it does feel clunky by comparison, which is a surprise since it was made by Microsoft and you would kind of assume that it would work well with their other software. But
hey, they've got the basics down now. Let's give them credit. It's only been
Yeah, but hang on. I take Red's point, and actually, I really think that's an interesting description of it. I find this with Android as well. I know I'll get hate emails as usual on this, but you know, I find Android, and I guess when I think about it, Narrator, a bit slippy in its operation. You know, like you say, it loses focus a lot of the time. It's not quite. It doesn't feel like it's quite got the grip that Jaws does. Although, don't get me wrong, Jaws can also fall apart and can lose focus. That's often the video driver that's actually built into the software that causes that problem. And the quickest and easiest solution is to literally switch it off and on again. It's the typical IT response to everything classic. But it is. It's the only way you can really fix that. But, you know, I've noticed that as well, that it can be quite slippy. But I think you're right. I think Robin's right. If you've got the newest version, it's maybe worth checking out Narrator again. Once you've got those basics
done. Not if you've got Jaws on the machine. Sorry.
Well, no, exactly. Have you got Jaws on there? Have you got Jaws on there, Red?
No. I've got Jaws on my work laptop, and I've only... I mean, I took the view, part of the reason, as you probably remember, for my moving away from Mac and wanting to buy a Windows laptop was because people keep saying to me, oh, Narrator will probably be the future. RNIB may well move us towards using Narrator in the future. It's probably a good idea to get up and running. Well, it's free, isn't it? So, you know...
That's going to be a long time in the future with the trajectory they've got at the moment.
Yeah, but
you know, it does the basics now. But
I get that, though. I get that, and you can understand. And the problem is that with organisations, and let's be honest, let's look at the wider world here for a minute. Things aren't exactly rosy in the garden when it comes to finances. Charities, especially, you know, usually see the hit of a big economic collapse. They'll usually get that will come through in about 4 or 5 years' time. Mm. So over the course of the next 4 or 5 years, we will be as a charity struggling to. You know, to you know, we'll be making serious decisions about the future and what we're going to do. And if they can look at a cost like this, that, you know, Jaws is not cheap to have.
Yeah, I mean, I would
that,
be...
You know, it might be a cost that goes... I know, obviously, access to work schemes are there to support as well, so that's another aspect of it. But
I would be very, very surprised, though, if the RNIB didn't have an org-wide license arrangement with Freedom Scientific.
It will. No, it will. Yeah, absolutely.
But
will,
still,
yeah.
Though, it's not a... You know, it's a... It'll be a significant whack for... You know, tens of users, if not hundreds of users, across the organization.
We've had this argument so many times on this show, and Red, you know, it's interesting you weigh into it and you come on the side of Jaws, because I think a lot of people do think, well, do you know what? If I can get by on Narrator, and I know there are listeners to the show who do, we've put this out there a few times. We've said to people, look, you know, what do you use? And, you know, not everyone can afford Jaws. And, you know, you're a home user. You've made the decision not to go down that route because it's blooming expensive, right? So.
Yeah, it's blooming expensive. And actually, you know, using it at work, I can sit there and go, well, yeah, it's paid for by access to work. I can get frustrated with it, but I don't feel like I'm wasting my own money. I certainly wasn't going to sit down and pay for a home license for Jaws because it's an awful lot of money and I would resent its little foibles. I probably need to go and look at the open source version.
Absolutely. NVDA will feel very familiar to you if you use Jaws keystrokes. It has much more functionality than Narrator. Don't be put off by the voice that it'll speak with by default. You can change that.
You can change it to the Queen.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Not to, you know, get...
Not Freddie Mercury.
To belittle it with its...
No, the other
gimmicks.
One.
Yeah, it could... No, maybe not.
I mean, I think what's exciting about this is actually I feel a lot more prepared to go off and start exploring other options. Having, I guess Jaws would say they were the Rolls Royce of the text-to-speech software, and Narrator is probably the mini maestro. But but I'm quite happy to go around the showroom and explore, because actually I can see that they are incredibly helpful. And yeah, whilst they've all got their foibles, it's not off-putting. It's actually, it's just a bit slower than it should be.
Well, let me throw something into the works here, a little spanner into this, because one thing I've heard from a lot of people, and I never really understood it until it happened to me, was when I couldn't access a certain part of the Windows environment. There's a window I couldn't access. I think it was the window that tells you, for example, what your computer name is, and it's like your About Us page, if you like, of the computer. And I couldn't access it with JAWS at all. And it was doable, but you couldn't get it to stop. You had to kind of read the whole thing at one go, or else you'd miss it. And it was pretty terrible. And someone said, well, just turn on Narrator. And I said, oh, I don't use Narrator. And they're like, yeah, but don't look at it like that. See it as a tool in the toolbox. So actually, you know, get to know it on the side. You know, be friends with it, but you don't have to, you know, always take it out for dinner. You know what I'm getting at.
I know exactly.
But, you know, it's just, you know, be familiar with it is good. And even if it is the basics, because you will find there are times when you might need to switch JAWS off because it can't do something. I think you're right. I think it is the Rolls Royce, but it's been around for a long time. But so has NVDA, in fairness, and NVDA has done a very good job. I've never used it that much. I know you use it, Robin. I know you use JAWS, really. But
in passing, I do. I mean, for me, the two main advancements with Narrator are, one, that it is now good enough for the basics. Before, it definitely wasn't. You know, half.
And it's aligned itself. It's aligned
that's
itself.
The number two is that, you know, just try the keystrokes that you're familiar with. Those three main screen readers now, Narrator, NVDA and JAWS, all have the same basic core keystrokes, which are the JAWS ones, which is brilliant. You know, if you're familiar with that, then, you know, cross-platform familiarity is absolutely brilliant. One final point, though, on JAWS. I mean, we keep talking about it as the Rolls-Royce, which is absolutely right, but a lot of people won't relate to wanting to drive around in a Rolls Royce every day. You know, it's just not me. I don't need it, blah, blah, blah. Certainly.
Well, maybe you don't. I'd like a Rolls Royce to drive around then every day.
I want to drive it. But in a work context, I think however expensive it is, the efficiencies, the time savings of all of those keystrokes that will help you get around, and the scriptability, which will help you with certain applications that otherwise would be hugely problematic, has a value, has a tangible cost associated with it as well. You know, we all know how much we get paid. We know what our hourly rate, you know, boils down to. And it doesn't take many of those to get to pay for the equivalent, you know, of JAWS, whatever it might be from an org license point of view. So I just want to throw that in there as well. I can't, you know, if RNIB ever decided to go for a free option, I think they would need to factor in not just the saving of not having the org-wide JAWS license anymore, but the time lost by people having at the moment, anyway, a much less efficient option. Sorry, that was.
And
kind
let's
of
be
like...
very, but let's be very clear on this. RNIB are not saying that at the moment, but we are saying this.
Narrator
we are thinking, it. Yeah, well, exactly. But we are thinking it because it makes logical sense. But it's not something that RNIB are saying they would do at all. Just one final point with you, Red, because I know you've got to dash, and we have so many emails to get through. It is crazy. So before we get to those, I just want to ask you, because you brought up a point there about having this laptop going exploring. I think that's the point, isn't it? You've got your own machine. You can do with what you want with this. And that does give you that sense of freedom to go on that wild safari ride and you know, just see where it takes you. And you don't have the fear then of you know, all of the other people mucking around with it, or maybe it's a work machine, so therefore it's restricted to some degree. You can just go off and do what you want. That does make a psychological difference, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, I'm far more likely to sit down and listen to an audio book rather than pick up my laptop and go hunting around on the internet for stuff. But the weird thing is, I found myself over the past few weekends thinking, oh, okay, actually, I'll go and look that up on Wikipedia. I'll go and see if I can find that album on YouTube, which is something I haven't done for about 8 or 9 years since my sight got so bad that I couldn't see the screen anymore. And that to me proves that I've made the right decision. And as we know, it's just like any kind of training, isn't it? The more you do it, the easier it becomes, the less of a sweat it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very briefly, Red, on the hardware side of things, are you happy with
It's
how it
a
feels?
Really, really lovely little machine. Yeah, it doesn't feel much bigger than my MacBook Air, but or much less well built, actually, mm-hmm. Which is really lovely. It's got all the keys in the right place, as far as I'm concerned. I do like the fact that it does have usable keys that are nicely spread out, not all too close together, because I've got quite big hands being a rock climber. It's a real ergonomic pleasure to use. And whichever one of you it was that recommended the tiny little bump-ons, the lock dots, absolute genius. And I can't remember his name, but I got a lovely email from one of your regular listeners basically telling me how he'd put the lock dots on his laptop to make his life easier. And I followed a lot of his advice. And yes, and if only I could remember his name, I could give him a shout out. But you know who you are, and thank you. I do feel like I've joined a tribe of sight
misfits.
Sight loss former technophobes who actually have come at it the hard way. It's like climbing the north face of the Eiger, I think. It's kind of like we haven't done it the easy way, but you get that real sense of achievement when you actually gain some height and think, wow, I've conquered this.
Well, listen, I gave you lots of hints last time. I'm going to leave you with one final tip, and this is for going forward. Download the Be My Eyes app. Mm-hmm. And if you're ever struggling, go to specialized help and go to the Microsoft option, and they will put you right through to someone, a matter of seconds really, puts you right through to someone at Microsoft's disability answer desk. The team there are amazing. And they will help you out of any scrape you're in.
Including remoting in to your laptop with a special secret Microsoft way, which doesn't require having to put in all sorts of codes and stuff.
No, it's amazing.
If there's somebody trusted who I can pass the burden of trying to sort out a technical problem to, then I'm always happy doing that. And my 20-year-old daughter will be very happy that I'm not asking her.
Well, there you go, exactly. So it makes everybody feel better. Red, I'm so glad you're getting on well with it. And I know our audience were behind you in this all the way. We had lots of emails of encouragement saying, just go for it, Red. Go do it. Once you've made the switch, you'll feel better. I personally feel sad for all the Apple fanboys like me who are saying, what about us and our MacBooks? But we'll just get on with it. And we'll not complain, because we never do. It's only you Windows people that moan all the time.
Oh, you've got such broad shoulders, Stephen.
Red, it's been great being back with you. Thank you again. Remember, Read On is Fridays at 1 p.m. It's on the podcast as well. We just search for R&IB Read On, is that right?
Just search for Read On, the audiobook show.
Oh, there we go. Right, okay, brilliant. Red, thank you again.
Well, thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Robin. And thank you to all the listeners who've given me advice. As I say, I feel a lot happier. I feel I've made progress, which at my advanced age is no bad thing.
Thanks, Red.
Thanks, Red.
Bye-bye. That was lovely. Thanks. Yeah, I'm going to go and deal with my plumber.
Cool. Go do it, and we're going to just take a quick... We'll just continue for a minute, Robin. I want to just finish a thought on something, so I'll continue on for a minute. And I will let you go.
Right, I... Ooh, hang on. What the hell has my daughter done? I'm going to try and get out of this meeting now.
Just alt F for it.
Yeah, that's the easiest way.
Ooh. All right. Thanks, man.
Take care. Right. Cool.
Am I stopping recording or not?
No, keep it going just now if you can.
Okay.
Unless you've hit stop. So I just want to finish that thought on my own, because I started to talk about the Lenovo and then I realised I never finished that particular point. here we go. Great to hear from Red. I just want to go back to an earlier point, because I was talking a bit about my Lenovo laptop that I got, and... I'd had the issue with this where it turned out the trackpad wasn't working, which actually made no difference to me whatsoever.
And it's funny because with my MacBook, the trackpad is the only time that I use it is when I accidentally brush it and something.
It's actually quite easy to do on a MacBook because they're so big on the MacBook. It's actually quite irritating. And you can only turn it off by plugging in a mouse.
Right.
That's the only. There's no other way to switch. You can't just disable the trackpad, which I guess makes sense. But you can on other machines. You can turn it off on a Windows machine. So that was my thing. I thought, well, I don't care about this. Mm-hmm. I can just live without it. The problem was it was beginning to have an issue where it was actually bringing up blue screen of death and all that horrible stuff. So I contacted Lenovo. And they were amazing. I just wanted to say that, not for another reason, just because they were. They immediately took it away. They fixed it. It was sent back to me. I actually paid for on-site repair because they were doing a deal on it at that point. So I paid a bit extra for the on-site repair. And then they called me and said, due to COVID-19, we can't send anyone to the house. And I thought, oh, okay. And she said, no, I'm really sorry, but we'll refund you the money you've paid. We're not going to have you pay for something you can't use. But she then said, I'm going to give you the year anyway. You know, in case we get back to doing it. Yeah. And amazing. So, yeah, that was good. But anyway, get the machine back. So kudos to Lenovo for that. But here's the thing. I get the machine back, all going great, get everything set up, really happy. And then all of a sudden, I go to restart it after a JAWS update, and it just wouldn't start up again. Whoa. Nothing to do with JAWS, I'm sure of it. But I just think something wasn't quite right somewhere. And the image of the Lenovo software they put back on it, because it was wiped when I got it back. So, you know, maybe something hadn't been installed properly. I don't know. Windows just being Windows, I guess. So anyway, had to start all over again. So this is the third time. So I'm going for third time lucky.
When you say start all over again, send
as
it
in
back.
Like, you know, back, no, back to, you know, reset the whole thing, yeah. Back to factory settings. Okay. I could do that all that myself. And again, because the setup process is so accessible, It just doesn't feel like as much of a chore. I don't want to be doing it every few days. it would just get a bit annoying. But so far, so good. I am loving it. And I am definitely on Windows 2004, which is great. You mentioned to Red about that. There is a key command you can use to tell you, isn't there? There's a way you can
tell. Yeah, I think we mentioned it on a recent show. Insert Control V. Now it'll say Windows 10 and then it'll say a whole stringy number afterwards. That is, in fact, the actual version number. If you went into About, you know, you did Windows I to bring up settings and then you typed in, I think it's on that main home page, and you can turn on the touch cursor if you're in JAWS to kind of get the stuff in between, or you can virtualize the window. Don't forget that one, guys. That's a brilliant hotkey. That's Insert Alt W. That will virtualize the whole window, and then you can just arrow up and down to your heart's content, and you'll get not only the things that, you know, Tab will get you, but everything in between.
Hi,
as well.
Whoa.
We've covered this.
Right, so have we?
Yeah,
I
man.
Must have been off. I was off school that day, sir. I don't remember. The dog ate the homework. So what was that again?
Well, this is JAWS, obviously, not, yeah. You know, but yeah, Insert Alt W, and it'll say virtualizing window or something, and then you can arrow up and down. You can't hit enter on buttons and things. You've basically got a virtual viewer version of everything in the window. So yeah, you can arrow down until you get to the Windows number, version number 2004, is obviously the most recent version of Windows. Surprisingly though, and we mentioned this a moment ago, hopefully Red's got his on his Dell, but it literally wasn't until last week, that Microsoft Surface users got 2004. The hardware made and manufactured by Microsoft were one of the last devices to get 2004 pushed to them, which is bizarre, really. So 2004 stands for April. So that shows you how far away, you know, what the lag was in Surface users.
Well, I don't think people ever understand these names. It was 1909 and then it was 2004, and it all felt...
And just to confuse things, I think they're going to move away from this naming convention because, yeah, 2004 isn't a good name, is it? Because there's not a space there and it looks like Windows 2004.
Exactly, which,
So, yeah, it's all a mess. And, you know, it's up in the air as to what they're going to call them next. Maybe 20H2, like for the second half, and then 21H1. I don't know. But anyway, so you can get it that way, or you can do Insert Control V. And that will give you, it'll say Windows 10 and it'll say a serial number, as it were, or kind of a version number after. It won't say 2004 or 1908, which was the one before it. But yeah, it is 2004 that you want. And you can confirm that in the settings dialogue. And if you've got that, then yeah, narrator's going to speak better. One major issue with Edge, Microsoft Edge, which, as we know, is the browser that's built into Windows. Prior to 2004, it wasn't using the Chromium engine. It was using its own, I think it's Trident engine. And every time you needed to put in a, you needed to log in to Office, for example, a little system dialogue would pop up that would use Edge. And if you do, you know, the insert queue to tell you what scripts are running or what, you know, the application is that you're in, it would say that it's Microsoft Edge settings, blah, blah, blah. And so you could tell that you were in Edge, but it was the old engine and you couldn't log in. You know, if Office was coming up saying, oh, you need to change your password or something, you just couldn't log in. Not with JAWS, not with Narrator, none of those. So if people are experiencing that, definitely update to the latest version of Windows if you can. Because at least, I think JAWS as well, but certainly Narrator will speak in those dialogues now. So
well,
like
it's funny because we would normally be saying to people, well, hold off for a while with updates.
Well, this is a while. In case.
But exactly. And actually, if you can do the update, really go for it because it will actually make a difference to us as well. And make sure your JAWS is up to date as well if you're using it.
Yeah. If for whatever reason it's not coming up in the Windows update, although it definitely should, I think it's definitely safe now. This long after it came out into the wild to force it. And the only way you can really force it is by going to the Windows Download Center and downloading the Microsoft Windows Update Manager or something like that. But it's there on that front page. And that will then, it's like a little wizard that walks you through updating to the new version.
Yeah, amazing. All right, well, look, we're going to continue because we've got lots of emails to get through. Andy is standing by after, well, the what is now infamous email jingle.
Email, we get email, we get your email every day.
Every day!
Here's your mail today.
You know, I remember when we started playing this jingle and it used to be like every week we'd maybe get a couple of emails in, you know, people just starting to listen to the show. Now it is every day, and one man who can absolutely understand that from his point of view is the guy who checks the inbox and who makes emails into pages. It is our very own Andy Wynn. He's back with us. Hey, Andy!
Hello. I also reply to emails. A lot of listeners from our last show where we said, hey, email us and we'll send you the link to the Tech Talk survey. Well, you would have got responses from me saying, hi, hello, how are you doing? Here's the survey. Please be kind.
Please be kind.
Please be nice to us.
You weren't offering money in return for good results, were you?
No. Name checks.
I think that's against some kind of policy at RNIB that I'm not aware of, but I'm pretty sure it's the case. And listen, thank you to everybody who got in touch about that as well.
Yeah.
You know, irrespective of what you think of the show, if you think it's the worst thing that has ever passed your ears since the last thing, then, you know, do let us know because we can change the show. We can get rid of Robin. It's quite easy.
All problems solved in one fell swoop.
I think if I'm honest, Robin, if there's one person who's going to be departing as a result of this survey, it's going to be me. So don't worry about it.
It wasn't about us. It was about the email jingle.
Also,
well, yeah, we've got that as well. Yeah, the survey about the jingle. So how's that going? Are we keeping this then?
We are keeping it, yes. 84% of you love the jingle. There you go.
Oh, lovely. Hang on. What were the options again on this poll?
Love it. It has to stay. 84%. Hate it. Bin it now. 11%. And who cares? 5%.
I love the 5%. I love the 5%. Keep the email jingle.
Email.
Yes, it stays.
Yeah.
Excellent. I can't believe we've had a poll running about the jingle that introduces the emails. And people say that we talk too much about rubbish. You're just encouraging us.
And people don't just do the survey. They've also been emailing in saying, no, I love this. I love the jingle. Keep it. One person said, I think the email jingle's driving you mad. But no, we love it as well. So, yeah, good. Well done, everyone.
Excellent. Well, there you go. That's it. The majority have spoken. If you didn't get involved in this, well, just think about it like, you know, when you don't vote in an election. You've got no say anymore.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. That's that dealt with. Right, moving on. Emails, the actual emails. What's in the inbox today, then?
Emails. Right, we're going to start off with Richard emailing in. Now, this is a bit troublesome because we've been getting our Richards muddled up over the last couple of weeks. So
not another apology.
Getting our Richards in a twist.
We're mixing up our Richards. Richard emails in and starts by saying, just three quick points. Number one, I'm Richard II from Perth. I'm not Richard the First from Aberdeen. Second of all, he says, to add to the confusion, my middle name is Julian.
Oh, come on. That's not
you
fair.
You couldn't write this, could you?
No, I know. That's not fair.
There's a shortage of names. Number three, he says, I think I'm right in saying that. To find out the version of Windows you're running, pressing Windows Insert and V won't work if, for example, you're using JAWS and it's open. But it will certainly work in the Windows window. So, yes, that is from Richard II, formerly known as Richard Godfrey Mackay. Thank you very much for that, Richard.
Thank you, Richard.
I mean, one tiny comment on that. So Windows Insert V won't work anywhere, I don't think. But Insert Control V, as far as I'm concerned, works everywhere. And it always gives you the same result. So I'm not 100% sure. But try Control Insert V. And it will say Windows 10 and then a bunch of numbers at the end. But certainly going into the settings dialogue, it should give you that there as well, what version of Windows you've got.
Okay, well, Richard, I think what we've now learned from Richard's email is that there's actually two people emailing us constantly, and all of them have different names,
yes,
but they're the same people.
Richard,
that's what I'm getting from.
Yep. From now on, Richard, you're Richard II. Richard in Aberdeen, you're Richard I. So any other Richards that email in, you have to pick a number after that. So there you go.
You have to, yeah. We give you a number sequentially. It's like Argos, but you only get your own name at the end.
Richard number two, please. There you go.
Yeah.
We need a Richard III. We absolutely
do. There's one. There's got to be another Richard. Come on. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Right, another email then. Thank you to Richard for that.
Hi, Steve, Robin and Andy, says Reg. A couple of weeks ago, you gave me the hint of using Silenzio. Am I saying that correctly?
Oh,
Silenzio?
You are.
I also heard the JAWS had the same functionality, but not to older versions. I'm using JAWS 2019, and I cannot find it, so I'm using Silenzio, which has worked. Big thanks. I wanted to share a low-tech idea to other listeners. A low-tech idea. After making a hot drink, drop a cube or two of ice into the cup, and now it's ready to drink, and if you spill or splash yourself, you will not be scalded, especially in hot weather. You can replace water ice cubes with milk, so you can make a coffee, and instead of pouring the milk in, you can just drop a milk ice cube in. Slightly tricky to pour in the tray, but it can work. That's from Reg, and he says, by the way, chocolate at room temperature.
Oh, well, a sensible person, clearly, Reg. Thank you for that. I mean, I was just about to say, what an insane idea with milk in an ice cube tray. But then you said about chocolate and we're friends again.
So he's obviously
a very sensible guy.
I love this idea of milk ice cubes. I think that's a brilliant idea.
It is, but yeah. Can you imagine
the mess?
I don't
know about the dropping bit, though. Maybe just carefully placing, or maybe even putting the ice cubes in first. Yeah.
You can get these ice cube trays now, right, which come with covers that kind of click on the top.
Yeah.
So it kind of holds the water or whatever liquid in it. And that's really good. Can I use those? Because you can then carry them to the freezer without, you know, covering the entire house in milk or water or whatever else. Which, I mean, I can do that on my own. I don't need an ice cube tray, thanks.
I can get the tray to the freezer without spilling it. But then trying to find a drawer with something inside that's got a level enough surface to carefully place the tray on, so that it doesn't go at an angle and...
Well, see, we've got one of these chest freezers, and at the moment it's like Narnia in there. It's so frosty. I need to deal with that at some point. I have no idea what to do. I'll get a man in. That's what I usually do. Get someone else in and shout at them until it's fixed. Or just shout at the ice until it goes away. That might work as well. My wife always tells me I'm full of hot air, so that work. Anyway, back to your point, though, about Silenzio. So for those who don't know, Silenzio is a brilliant app. It was recommended to us by Jonathan Mosen, the great Jonathan Mosen, who had sort of just dropped it into a comment in a blog, really, and we'd picked up on this. This is a little app which is free to download for Windows. If you have any issues with Bluetooth, as I often do, an issue where, for example, you have a Bluetooth headphones connected to your laptop, and we've talked about this so many times, that horrible lag, well, that's one thing, but also that horrible cutoff where the beginning of a word, as soon as you activate JAWS by pressing the Windows key or, you know, using some kind of keyboard command, it will cut off the first few letters of the word. So, you know, search becomes erch, you know, that kind of thing. That can be really irritating, especially if you're using JAWS all the time and, you know, you're using it as obviously your primary means to use your computer. So Silenzio acts by starting a silent track. once the program's launched, you can set it to run from startup as well. It will actually just run this silence track all the time, which means it's keeping the line open, if you like. So the Bluetooth is always connected. It will have an impact on your lifespan of your Bluetooth headphones or earphones. Be aware of that, because instead of having the cutoff, which is obviously to preserve battery, they'll be active all the time. Be aware of that. But if you can get over that, you won't have a problem. Now, as for JAWS, well, Robin and I were just talking about this very thing today. Earlier on today, we were having this conversation where we were discussing this, because I was trying to get this to work. I'd gone into one of the JAWS forums to ask someone how this worked in JAWS, because my work laptop, I can't install Silencio on it because the big bad IT people say, no, you're not getting it. So instead, my interpretation was that it was already built into JAWS 2020, which I have. And I couldn't find it, so we did try it today, didn't we? We gone mm-hmm. into settings. Even though apparently it's not activated by default.
Yeah, no, it's not ticked by default.
It's not ticked by default. It seemed to be ticked by default in my case. I don't know why. I certainly never
but
did
it wasn't
that.
Working.
But it wasn't working anyway, that's for sure. And you could hear yourself. With the Bluetooth connected, it was cutting off the beginning of the words. Now, to find it, you go into settings, which is insert 6.
Insert 6.
So I'm learning. See, you told me this earlier. Because I couldn't even remember how to get into settings. That's how terrible I am. I'm awful. But anyway.
There is insert V as well, which gives you a subset. It's called quick settings, and it may be in there. Mm. But let's stick with insert 6.
Yeah, that's your kind of global. Well, it's not your global settings. It actually
it's
takes
the
you
full
into
the settings.
Yeah, full settings for the application, isn't it? But then you have to tell us what you do next.
Yeah, Control-Shift-D will... There's no way that you can get to the default settings, whichever app you're in when you do insert 6. It'll say, you know, notepad.jcf, for example. So you'll be in the settings file for Notepad. But yeah, Control-Shift-D, just like when you're creating an exception, you know, when you want something to be pronounced differently, you know, you do insert D to bring up the dictionary. That will only apply to notepad.jdf, for example. So you want to do Control-Shift-D there as well. Control-Shift-D is your friend for switching to the default one, the global one.
It's not a test at the end
for
of this, is it?
Settings or... Yeah. But yeah, things like the exceptions dictionary, the graphics labeler, and the settings dialog, all of those, Control-Shift-D first to make it a global change.
Mm. And once you get there, we just searched for sound, and in fact, it was the first thing that came up as an option. What was it again? It was, what was it said?
Something like automatically keep sound card alive or something. I can't remember.
No, I mean, it's perfectly obvious.
Just search for sound.
Yeah. It's the first option that comes up, and it is the obvious one. But you, even though if it's ticked, we unticked it, okayed, and then went back into settings and basically did it again. We activated it again and ticked on the checkbox. I'm going to be honest with you, Robin, it doesn't work as well as Silencio. It just doesn't. It doesn't do it. I mean, it was working fine for about the first 5 minutes, and then it started doing it again. Whereas my other PC laptop, I've got my own one, doesn't have this problem at all when connected to the same Bluetooth source, and that's key. You know, it's making sure it's trying it with the same source. It was absolutely fine with that. So I don't know.
So the item is called Avoid Speech Cutoff When Using Bluetooth Headsets with Some Sound Cards.
And it does say
that's the option.
And it does say that it's pretty much exactly what Silencio does. It plays a silent
the thing
track.
Is, you'd think that exactly. That is what it does, which makes you wonder why it isn't doing as well. Maybe a reboot of the computer, for example, I don't know. But yeah, it was certainly working, wasn't it? So, there was sometimes a tiny little bit still cut off, which is really odd.
You could tell, for example, when an email came in, the notification ding, you know, was kind of cut short. You could tell that it was starting late. It's not perfect in that front. But then a bit more investigation, perhaps. And obviously, you know, make sure you're up to date with JAWS. I am up to date with mine. And, you know, having deactivated and now reactivated that setting, you would think it'd be working, but it's not at the moment. So I'm not using Bluetooth at the moment. I've gone back to wired for that particular computer, which is kind of annoying.
I think the delay is always problematic with Bluetooth.
Yeah, that is another
problem. You know, when you're using a screen reader, I think that is always going to be a challenge. iOS with AirPods, I can't tell that there's a delay at all, but every other Bluetooth product on every other platform,
Well, I don't know. I'll be honest, I found it with the iOS, on an iPhone especially. I found it with AirPods. I do notice the delay, but you only notice the delay when you switch to wired headphones. if you switch to wired, connected straight into your iPhone, you do notice the difference. It is so much more speedy.
For me, it's okay.
I mean, yeah, it is okay.
It's acceptable.
It is, but you do notice the difference when you're wired, that's for sure.
It's below the threshold of annoying.
You always notice the difference when you're wired, Robin.
Okay.
Moving on.
Certainly on every other platform I do. It's horrendous on every other.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So, yeah,
right.
Stick with wired.
Anyway, that's Silenzio. So you can search for that. S-I-L-E-N-Z-I-O is the name of the app. Okay, thank you, Reg, for that. Let's get another email.
I like below the threshold of annoying. It's almost like a tagline for Tech Talk, isn't it? Yeah. Ian messages in on the subject of Samsung foldable phones. Hello, Tech Talk team. My wife and I were listening to the show in which you were discussing the new products from Samsung. We noted your somewhat disparaging comments on the foldable tablet, the Z Fold.
Really?
We felt that we should point out that Samsung has another foldable product, the Z Flip. Now, this was released earlier this year. Ian says that his wife Stella has been using this phone for a few months now and she loves it. He goes on to say, I should point out that Stella is sighted and so obviously does not have to rely on accessibility software. However, the little examination I have had of the phone would seem to indicate that a user relying on speech would have no more difficulty with this phone than any other Samsung device. What Stella really likes is that the phone folds and it can easily and safely be kept in a pocket. And should a larger screen be needed, it's a simple matter to just open it up. The fold is not intrusive, and the phone feels strong along the fold. I would say that the folding phone could well be something a blind person could find very useful. I wouldn't be surprised if Apple doesn't bring out its own foldable phone in the not-too-distant future. That is from Ian and wife Stella.
Well, hello to Ian and Stella. I actually couldn't agree more with you, Ian. I think you're right. I think there will be a folding iPhone of some kind coming out. I mean, it will probably become the new phablet of the future, won't it, when you think about it?
Yeah. It's having, you know, there's only so big you can get with screens on a phone before you can carry it around. You can't put it in a pocket, etc. It has to be pocketable. So yeah, I think so too.
I like the sound of this Z Flip, though. I must admit, I was very disparaging of the fold. I don't the big fold, the Samsung
big
fold.
Well, it was so problematic, wasn't it? It depends on whether they've sorted out the issues.
Yeah, but also, what would you do with it? I mean, you know, and from an accessibility point of view, for someone who's blind, is there really a benefit to this? Maybe low vision, but I don't know. I don't see the market for this particular device. I don't get it.
No.
Now, the Z Flip, on the other hand. When I loved flip phones when they were out, my original flip phone, I think, was an LG. It had the little stubby Ariel sticking out the top of it, top right, I think it was, if I remember.
I had an Ericsson like that.
Yeah, and I love the Sony Ericssons. Oh, remember those days? There was that thing, you could chuck it through a window. I mean, I wouldn't recommend it, but you could. I mean, it was handy. You know, I lived in Glasgow at that point, so I was armed with my phone to make phone calls in emergencies, obviously, before anyone starts complaining. But no, I mean, I loved those phones. They were solid. I mean, those days, those phones were, like, proper. I mean, was it the 20th anniversary this year of the Nokia 3310? That makes me feel very old. But, yeah, I mean, that phone is brilliant.
They brought out a modern version. Was it the 33 or the 3210?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, the 3310. But they did recently bring out the 30...
The feature phones.
What was the other one? There was a 3210 as well. They brought out that one. The banana phone, as I remember it. They brought that back out as well. Yeah, that was a great phone. Much better, by the way, the original one than the newer one. You could just tell the quality difference on it. It really was. But again, no accessibility on it, so it was completely pointless. But no, I mean, I think...
Wouldn't get told off.
Yeah, probably.
For talking rubbish.
it's not the first time. Why change the habit of a lifetime, Robin? But no, look, I mean, you know, what I will say is that Z Flip, I'd love to know what the accessibility is like on the front screen. You know, when you fold it over, is there any accessibility on that front screen, Ian? If you can come back to us and tell us on that, because I really would like to know. I get that the phone will be fully accessible once you open it up, but the front touch screen when you fold the phone over, is that accessible? So that would be intriguing to know. Anyway, that's if Stella will give you a loan of the phone again. She's probably saying, leave my phone alone. It works. Don't be putting that Hawkins
stuff
on.
Stop handing me your 3210. I don't want it.
Right, let's get another couple of emails in before we
Hi, go. Says Alexander. Now, he says, I've been very hard critic of Android, and one main reason is that it only allows you to do two-finger gestures, and you have strange figures that you must perform in order to do stuff in TalkBack. But now, he says, with four exclamation marks, from Android 11, stuff has begun to change. Google now has improved their API multi-finger gesture, and they give opportunity to swipe and double and triple tap and swipe even with three and four fingers. And in my opinion, this is a major, huge step forward. A major, huge step forward. In the developer of TalkBack, take advantage of these improvements, and then Android can start to be a huge competitor to iOS. This is something that I have been waiting for a very long time, and now they have finally fixed it. So my advice is, for those of you who are planning to try Android, wait at least another 5 or 6 months or to a Google release, which is coming, he says, in October, November, or buy an Android with mobile with a pure Android like Nokia or Moto. Regards from, at the moment, a very rainy Sweden, that's Alexander.
Oh, hello, Alexander, in rainy Sweden. I bought a desk the other day, which apparently is leaving your country any day soon. So, you know, if you could bid it farewell at the port for me, that would be fantastic. I have no sense of geography. But, yeah, whatever that is, if it's even a place. But, yeah, let's talk about this because, yeah, actually, you're absolutely right, Alexander. This is going to be huge for Android. Having the ability to get the same amount of gestures in, because that, you know, adding extra multi-finger capability will give you so many other options. I guess more customization, which is something you get used to with Android. So I think this is good news, Robin. Probably we should be shouting this from the rooftops a bit more, because it is big.
I mean, that's always been that, and Braille, like, you know, not as good Braille support, has always been the main argument about against Android.
And they've got,
you
know, Braille screen input now as well.
Crazy angular gestures. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So definitely, let's wait and see after the dust has settled and everyone has had a chance to bang on the new OS. Yeah. And, you know, wouldn't it be great if people were coming back and saying, OK, guys, now they're on a par. You know, take your pick. Whatever you want, Android or iOS. I mean, there's still the challenge of third-party apps not potentially being as accessible on Android.
I don't think it's as big a deal anymore. I think it's less of a deal than it used to be. I feel we say this a lot from an Apple point of view, but I think a lot of Android users will say it's nowhere near as bad as you think it is. Yeah. You know, I think there are a lot of apps on iOS that are questionable. The experiences aren't as good. I mean, I talk about Pocket a couple of weeks ago, and you know, there's a good example of an app that was just far better to use on Android than it was on iOS. Can I just give a piece of advice here? If you're going to get an Android phone, get a Pixel 4a. I mean, you don't need any more than that if you're blind. And if you're going to use TalkBack as your main screen reader, which, of course, if you've got a Samsung phone, you've got the addition of their own screen reader. But if you're going to get a phone which you're going to use TalkBack on and you're not worried about the screen, get a Pixel 4a. They're starting at like £350. I mean, it's cheaper than the iPhone SE. And, you know, you're getting a great phone for your money. It's not out yet. It is due out. I thought it was actually out August 1st, but it's still, I've signed up for the, you know, when it's to be released, and I've not had any notification yet. So I'm intrigued by this phone. I mean, I don't need one. I'm not buying one. I've got a Pixel 3a, which is brilliant. So, you know, it's probably the best Android phone out there for someone who's low vision. Let me qualify that. For someone who's blind, if you've got partial sight, I would look at Samsung. And it's funny because I know we disparaged a lot of Samsung recently, but, you know, I'm kind of talking more generally when I talk like that. I mean, for someone who's low vision, who's got a bit of vision, who can read reasonable size print, you would probably go for the Samsung. I think it's a great phone. The Samsung Galaxy S10 Plus that I'm using is a brilliant phone. I use it for a lot of my testing, but I tend to use it the TalkBack, obviously, and I try the screen reader on it. But if you've got enough vision to see some text, that is a great phone. Much better than the iPhone in that sense.
I'd be interested if anyone who is using an Android phone uses a home screen replacement bit of software. Like, I use Nova Launcher. So it's an application that sits over the top and acts as your home screen. Now, this comes with multi-finger gesture, but obviously this is a bit more advanced. If you've just got an Android phone and you're not comfortable with adding on things like that, then I can understand it being a bit tricky. Maybe it wouldn't work with TalkBack or anything along those lines, but That has...
That's the problem.
That has, yeah, finger gestures, so I can pinch in and pinch out and two-finger rotation and stuff like that to open apps and open bits and bobs, so...
But you probably wouldn't be able to do that with Talkback.
No.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
So this is where you want that clean version of Android. That's why we always talk about stock Android,
yeah.
People who use it. Get the stock...
I would be really interested to know, because Microsoft have launched or, you know, released a launcher to make it look very similar to Windows Phone. When they were a thing, with live tiles.
Oh yeah, because we all want that back.
Yeah, well, there's a definite fan base for it.
Oh, what next? But, BlackBerry coming back? Is it?
We know Microsoft are very big on accessibility, so if there's any launcher for Android that's going to work well with TalkBack, one would hope it's that one. So if anyone's got any experience of that as well, I'd be really interested to know, because that does add a lot of functionality and utility to the home screen. Really interested to know about that as well.
Yeah, I think stick with stock Android. It's your safest bet. And bear in mind that if you do that, you're also going to get the latest system updates before anyone else. Because, I mean, you've got the Huawei phone, and then you're going to be waiting until they get around to updating to whatever.
Yeah, that's on Huawei.
And that's the same for others. Same for Samsung, same for others.
Yeah.
But you can put a launcher on a Pixel 3A or 4A. Or
I'm not talking about launchers. I'm talking about the latest system.
Yeah.
You know,
get a stock Android phone that will then get the latest updates first, but put a different launcher on it if you want to.
Why bother? I'd recommend it.
All right, launchers are evil.
Yeah, they're just terrible.
Now we get a load of emails in saying, no, I'm a fan of launchers. They're great.
I must admit, this is what's kind of bothering me a little bit about iOS 14, all this extra stuff they're adding on, all these stupid tile things are going to stick on the front screen. I just want it to be really simple. If I think about it, these days especially, I rarely use the home screen, because I'm just asking Siri to open the app I want, and that's it. I don't even touch the screen. I'm just straight into Siri, open this app, do this or whatever. I find that so much easier. So, you know, you can keep your home screens and your launchers.
I'm liking it.
I give you.
I'm really liking the widgets, but we can talk about that.
Let's give Stephen a couple of weeks, and then he'll come back and said he loves launchers. Yeah,
I know. Well, I thought I might be going down that route, but no, I'm not so convinced. Look, we're almost out of time. Thank you again, guys, for being with us, and you know, we'll look forward to more of your emails next week. We've got a familiar voice actually to Tech Talk returning to us next week. Tim Schwartz, you might remember. He was on the show with us a couple of years back. Yes, believe it or not, it was a couple of years ago. Well, he is coming back to Tech Talk as of next week. He is coming in. I don't know if we'd say the voice of reason, because I think you're pretty much the voice of reason on here, Robin. But, you know, when you and I...
I'm looking forward to some... Yeah, he'll
he's going to spice it up, I think.
Value.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So looking forward to Tim coming back on the show as of next week. And if you have any questions or queries or anything you'd like to ask, then get in touch, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Andy's always got his eye on the email inbox.
Yes.
He can respond, and he can also do other stuff as well. so there you go.
That's, add value.
Yeah, there you go. That's add
value.
Other
stuff.
Guys, we're out of time. Thank you to Andy Wynn and Robin Christofferson. Catch you next time.
Thanks, guys.